considering I have the gift of gab, amen, might as well Pastor. Preach. What do you say? Why not? Right? See, when God gives you a gift, you use it, right? And sometimes I do overuse it, I must admit. But it's important that you hear the word of God this morning because it will change your life. It will change your life forever. This is Pentecost Sunday. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, what it means is this. In John 14, Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples before he went to the cross, before he died for all humanity so that we could live eternity, be forgiven, and have eternal life. And he was talking to the disciples in that upper room, and he said, "Don't be troubled. You trust in God, now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I'm going to prepare a place there for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be where I am. And you know where I'm going and how to get there." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We haven't any idea where you're going. So how do we even know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me, because I am the gate for the sheep, and I enter everyone into the sheepfold. I'm the one that's going to be at the door to welcome you into that fold in eternity." That's other scriptures, not from here. "If you had known who I am, then you would know who my Father is," Jesus said. "From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Philip, don't you even know who I am, even after all the time I've been with you? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to see him? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say are not my own, but the Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe what you have seen me do. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will never leave you, and I will send you another counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will not see me again, but you will. For I will live again, and so will you. When I am raised to life again, you'll know that I'm in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I will send the Holy Spirit who will live in you." So that's what happened on Pentecost. While the believers, after Jesus rose from the dead, he told the believers the last time he was with them, he said, "Go to Jerusalem and wait there until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then I'm going to send you into all the ends of the earth, beginning in Jerusalem to Samaria to throughout the entire world. You will take my spirit of and forgiveness and mercy and grace to all humanity. But wait until the Holy Spirit comes to be inside of you." And so on Pentecost Sunday, as we call it, the believers were all together in that room waiting. 50 days had gone by since Jesus rose from the dead. That's what Pentecost means, 50. And there they were meeting and praying. And suddenly, the building shook, and the Holy Spirit descended upon all the people there. And Peter, who also had the gift of gab, he preached the very first sermon of all time to those believers. A little longer than my message today, maybe. So that's the day the Holy Spirit came. And so right after that, in the book of Acts, we begin to see what happens inside the church, well, what we call the believers at that point. They met in homes. They met at the temple. They were taught and being teaching others that Jesus was the Messiah, that Jesus was God, and that Jesus had come to give forgiveness of sins. That was the message, what we call the gospel, the good news. That even though we die, we live because Christ lives in us. And so I want to pick up really in the book of Acts in chapter 8 because I want to pick up on what happened to Philip. Remember Philip at the Last Supper? He said, show us God. Show us the Father. And Jesus said, well, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I want to pick up with what happens to Philip because I don't know if you know this about Philip, but he was one of the very first disciples that Jesus chose. In the book of John, the very first part of the book of John, we see Jesus choose Philip and says to Philip, come follow me. And then Philip goes and gets Nathanael, and he tells Nathanael about Jesus. So in a way, Philip was the very first evangelist ever to live in Jesus' time as far as his ministry went. He goes and gets Nathanael, and Nathanael says, and Philip says, there's this man, he comes from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, Nazareth? Can anything good come from that place? So if you ever come from a place like Nazareth, any of you have a past that's like, oh, anything good come out of that place? Can anything good come out of this? Yeah, Jesus came out of Nazareth. We all come out of places, don't we? Into greatness. And so Philip brings and he says, come and see. Just come see for yourself who this guy is, this Jesus. So Philip, early on in his new ministry, if you will, or his very first indoctrination to meeting Jesus, the first thing he does is goes and gets somebody else and says, come and see. So what does that teach us about what we're to do as Christians? If Philip could do it, we're to do it too, right? Obviously. Well, in the book of Acts, in chapter 8, during this time, right after Peter preaches and a lot of people start believing and the word of God starts to spread and the word of Jesus' resurrection really is spreading more and more, what transpires is there's a man called Saul who decides to destroy the Christians. He is a Jewish person, a Pharisee, who wants to stop the church. So he starts persecuting. And we read in chapter 7 where Stephen, one of the followers, is actually stoned to death. And Saul is right there cheering it on. So early on, in the very beginning of the new church, Satan was trying to destroy it and stop it. But God steps in. So in chapter 8, we're going to pick up the story. It says, a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. And all the believers except the apostles fled into Judea and Samaria. Some godly men came and buried Stephen with loud weeping. Saul was going everywhere to devastate the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them in jail, trying to stop the good news of the gospel of forgiveness and grace and mercy from reaching other people. Saul was on a mission to stop the church. We still have enemies trying to stop the good works and the good news of God's love for everybody, right? It hasn't ended. So people fled Jerusalem because they were afraid of getting thrown in jail. You see how God started the church out under persecution. Maybe they were comfortable in Jerusalem. You know, the Holy Spirit had come and 3,000 were saved that day. And Peter, it was a great day in the church. And everybody's like, wow, yeah, I want to follow this Jesus. And like, whoa, cool. And people were bringing all kinds of offerings to have church. You know, it's going to be like, we're going to have this great place where the kingdom of God will be. And we're going to stay right here where it's safe. Except for the fact that God had other plans. Where were they supposed to go? From Jerusalem to Samaria to where? All the ends of the earth. So God kind of gives them a kickstart. So sometimes when we're being persecuted or chased or trying to be stopped, that's God prompting you to go and take some action. Some of us flee, that's all fine. But when you're fleeing, where are you going? To other people that you're going to tell the good news to, right? All right, one person said yes. Awesome, good. This is going to take a while for the rest of you to catch up, so this could be a long sermon. Anyway. The believers who had fled Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the good news about Jesus. How about that? So even those that fled, they still kept doing the talking about Jesus, preaching about Jesus' mercy and grace. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to what he had to say because of the miracles he did. Now, wait a minute. Philip went from an evangelist, right? Show us the Father kind of guy. Like, we don't know who you really are, Jesus, even though I've been with you 3 years. I kind of don't really understand you. To a person who's doing miracles. What transpired to have that happen? The Holy Spirit on Pentecost happened, didn't it? It got inside of Philip, didn't it? And even, one more thing I wanted to tell you about Philip that you may not know that I found interesting. When they started the church, they had this feeding program. Philip was one of the first deacons of the church. He was one of the 7 chosen to feed people. They said, we need to be preaching. Peter was saying, I got to be preaching. I've got the gift of gab, so I got to preach. And I got to teach. Now, Philip, you serve the people food. I got things to do. I got to preach. Except for what happens here. He becomes the deacon who's giving out food. And then suddenly, now what is he doing? Performing miracles. Wait a minute. He's supposed to be doing what? Giving people food. But he's performing miracles. Why didn't he stay in his lane? And if you got one gift that you have, that you use repetitively? Yes. Yes? One gift? Yes? I got one gift. Gift of gab, I've been told. That's what I'm using. The only gift I have? No. Well, wait a minute, you only get one. So far we know that Philip was an early evangelist, right? Going to get Nathaniel. He was a follower of Christ who got a little confused in the middle of that, going, what does this all mean? And Christ said to him, you can ask anything in my name. He was talking directly to Philip, I think, at that night. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. So what did Philip learn? The power of prayer, right? So he knew how to pray for those people that gathered around him. He wasn't just preaching about Jesus. He was doing the same miracles that Jesus had done and even greater ones. You see how the prophecy that Jesus said at that night to Philip and the rest of those apostles were coming true? Are they still coming true today? Absolutely. Are miracles taking place in this place? Absolutely. You're going to see some more this morning. I just know it. All right. Because I'm going to stop talking. That's going to be a miracle of its own. All right. In the name of Jesus, make her stop. Verse 7, many evil spirits were cast out screaming as they left their victims. I love that. You know, I kind of wish when I prayed over some of you when the demons and the things that bother you leave you, I wish they would just scream out and we'd all know they left. Wouldn't that be kind of a fun service? All right, so then, you know, you could do that in church one of these times, you know, really. I mean, not you scream out and running, but, you know, let the demons run and you, whoa, man, something left me. Wow. I feel better. The demons are underneath Jesus' feet. He defeated death and everything Satan was trying to do to stop and destroy people, that's been destroyed by God. Yes. Anyway, all right. It says, many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. Wow. Philip is now what? A healer. So he went from an evangelist to a food server to a healer. Isn't that awesome to watch his growth? A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there many years, claiming to be someone great. The Samaritan people, from the least to the greatest, often spoke of him as the great one, the power of God. He was very influential because of his magic he performed. But now the people believed Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe in magic anymore. They believed in what? God. Because God is not a God of magic. God is a God of permanent change and growth. Right? Because we can show magic things happening, so to speak, you know, of our own self doing it, right? Like when I stop talking, that'll be magic happening. But a miracle would be if I never talked again, see? That would be a different thing. All right. As a result, many men and women were baptized. So now Philip goes from being early evangelist, I don't know who you are, but show us the Father kind of guy, right? A little bit of a doubter in there. You know, we talk about doubting Thomas, as Philip was quite similar. He became a food server. Then he became a healer. And now he's a baptizer. Wow, man. His ministry. Look at his, what is the Holy Spirit doing here? Adding gifts more and more. And more people are being touched. Not, see, here's the thing. I believe we all need all of those things to happen in our lives. All of us need to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the first step. We need the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, whatever God asks us to do, whether it's to serve people food, whether it's to give money out of generosity, whether it's to clean the church, whether it's to stand out and greet people, whether it's to stand up here and preach to your heart's content, whether it's touching hands on people to help heal them, to restore them, to help them have faith and encouragement, to baptize them in the water so that they have a new life, to teach them about the resurrection of death to life. All of those things are a part of all our ministries, aren't they? Those are what the gifts of the Holy Spirit do. You see it with your eyes, right? So I have a question. You know, very often in life you say to yourself, why did this happen to me? Why me? I have another question. Why not you? Why not? Whatever life situation has come your way, that can become a ministry unto itself, can it? Later. Because when you overcome whatever it is in your life that God helps you overcome it through the power of the Holy Spirit, whenever you're healed, you can become what? A healer, can't you? Because see, Philip didn't become all of those things instantaneously. That was a process. He was with Christ for 3 years, remember? And it took the Holy Spirit to come upon him. And it also took God now using him to benefit the church, and not only the church, but all the people that he was encountered. That's what we're all here for. So when you wonder whether or not you're supposed to do something for God, because God, the Holy Spirit's prompting you. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit prompts you. Do you know what I mean by saying when I'm saying that? You know, you kind of get that somebody or something's telling me. You ever say that to yourself? Or out of the blue, this person called me and I haven't seen them in years and they got something going on. I wonder why they called me. Why not? Why not you? Why not me, right? Moving along. Verse 26, I believe it is. As for Philip, this is going on. Oh, by the way, there's so much good happening in this city of Samaria. You remember Samaria, right? Remember a woman at the well? You see how there's always this connection with the scriptures of everything Jesus did, now the people are doing too, including Philip. When they heard of all the miracles that took place, they sent Peter and John, because there were so many people needing ministering that they sent Peter and John there to help. So they added to that miracle working process. Moving along, and Peter and John go back to Jerusalem. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south. This is that Holy Spirit speaking to him. Go down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Next verse. So he argued with God. So he said, why me? Why don't you call Peter back? Go get John. What about Nathaniel? He never does anything. What's the verse say? So he did. So he did. Listen, when you get a prompting of the Holy Spirit in you, when God is telling you to do something for someone, see, I really don't have to talk. You understand. You do it. You do it. You don't need to call the senior pastor and get permission. No, you don't. Now, if you're going to tear the church apart, that's different. But if you're going to help another person, do it. Just bring the Holy Spirit with you. Oh, the where does the Holy Spirit live? In you. It doesn't come and go. It's always there. Whether or not you listen to the promptings or the suggestions or the orders or the commands or the better do it kind of stuff of the Holy Spirit, whether you do it or not, you have free will. I can tell you, you'll be miserable if you don't. I am a testament to that. Things I've been afraid of and people I couldn't talk to, places I didn't want to go in my early, early walk with Christ. I would say, can't you send somebody else? Why me? Why is it always me? You know what God said? Why not you? If I wanted somebody else, I would ask them. Right? So when you're asked to do something for God, if you some person comes on your mind or some place you feel like you need to go, or you need to pray with someone, do you need permission to do so? No. So you do, correct? Yeah. Awesome. Okay, I'm moving right along and we're going to end soon. So he did. And he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. A eunuch. Old Testament, eunuchs are not allowed in the kingdom of God. A eunuch was considered a homosexual, just in case you didn't know that. Oh. But in the book of Isaiah later, it tells the eunuchs to come to God. So who's God showing that he's going to now touch? A eunuch? Huh? An untouchable? So lest you think that, you know, you want to label whatever you are or who you think you are or who you're not, everybody is included in the kingdom of God. Can we be clear about that? Beautiful. And that means we must include everybody, right? Even non-eunuchs. Wow. God, the day that we get rid of labels, huh? Anyway, back to the scriptures. So he did, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. Evidently met Peter and John there. And he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over and heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah. So he asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, well, how can I when there's no one to instruct me? And he begged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And Philip said, oh, wait, I can't sit with a eunuch. Oh, I'm not supposed to be near you. You're a treasurer. You work for the IRS. I'm not supposed to get near you. You're bad. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and a lamb is silent before the shearers. He did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, while Philip was sitting in the carriage, was Isaiah talking about himself or someone else? So Philip began with the same scripture and then used many others to tell him the good news about Jesus. See where our preaching style comes from? It comes from Philip. It takes a lot of the scriptures put together for you, everything to add up inside of your mind to truly understand everything about all the things that God promised and said would happen that did happen. So you can come to believe even more firmly that everything God promises is true for you and for me and for everybody. It's the truth. Everything adds up together to fit into the puzzle. There's no missing pieces whatsoever where any of us would ever have to doubt that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, who rose from the dead and will come in glory and bring the church back together. And we're all going to worship him one day, and I'm going to preach my heart out at him. Yeah. Till he tells me to sit down and take it easy. In the meantime, see how Philip grew? How his ministry grew in a short period of time? This is not a long period of time for him in time frame-wise. But the Holy Spirit needed him in all those various places, did he not? And Philip was what? Willing. Do you see how willingness is all you really need to minister to others? Willing to speak up about God. Willing to tell people the good news of the Savior of Jesus Christ. Willing to tell your story about how God saved you from the brink of death and destruction, where God took you out of a place of despair and despondency and of addiction, or wherever you were in that dark place. He took you from where you were in Nazareth to a place of victory, right? You can tell that story, can't you? Even if you don't have the gift of gab, you can say anything to people to help them believe, can't you? Because the Holy Spirit, as Jesus also promised, will give you the right words to say when the time is right. And you'll say the right things at the right time to the right people with the right heart, if you are willing. So when God asks you for something, you say, well, why not? Why not? Go here, go there, go everywhere. Why not? Why not? Moving along to the last part of this, which is I want to show you what transpires. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? See, evidently, this eunuch thought he couldn't be. Why? Because society at one time, and even the religious leaders, had kept the eunuchs out of the church, didn't they? So what does this eunuch say to Philip? Why can't I? Is there a reason I can't? Is there a reason you can't be baptized in the water or in the fire of the Holy Spirit? No reason whatsoever? So why not be baptized? Why not? Why not? He ordered the carriage to stop, meaning the eunuch, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I love that story. There's a lot of water outside. Anybody want to be baptized this morning? We got a natural spring right outside. It's called rain. But think about this. What was the chances that Philip would bump into this eunuch? I mean, he's talking to hundreds of people throughout Samaria. God is sending him, and Peter's preaching to thousands and thousands, just like Jesus did, right? And here's Philip. The Holy Spirit sends him to one eunuch. Do you think that's a significant part of Scripture this morning for us? Does one life matter to us? All of us? Are you that life? Are there other lives that matter equally to yours? Yes. So when the Holy Spirit tells us to minister to somebody, whoever they may be, we say, why not? And on the other side of that, if you're the type of person who's never been baptized and you think it's going to be some kind of elaborate, you know, church event and we got to have a party and do all kinds of whatevers, we don't. When you have it in your heart, or when you decide that you want a changed life and you want to be baptized in the water, or if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes with the fire on us and in us, when we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes with, just in case you didn't know that. So we don't have to do any special, like, laying on hands or spinning you around or holding you upside down or any of those kind of things. You just have to want to be changed. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how awful you have been in your past or how terrible you were 5 minutes ago, laughing at my joke, laughing at me. And I don't know which it was. But you're forgiven. After this, after he baptizes this eunuch, the Holy Spirit just swoops him away. And he ends up in Azotus. And then from that point on, Philip preaches all the way throughout that land. And he eventually ends up in Caesarea. You don't see or hear of Philip again until Acts 21. When he's living in Caesarea. And he has four daughters. Unmarried. Unmarried daughters. Who have the gift of prophecy. Acts 21:8. So what do we see Philip doing? Going from an evangelist. And when Paul visits him in Acts 21, he says, I'm going to go see Philip, the evangelist. He began as an evangelist. He ended up as an evangelist, right? Telling the good news. All of us begin as evangelists. We're going to end up as evangelists. In the middle of all that, we become healers. We lay on hands on people. We become baptizers, so bringing people to Christ. We preach the good news to people. And we also are people who, by praying in the name of Jesus, cause miracles to happen. That's what Pentecost did, in case you didn't know. The Holy Spirit was sent to Philip and all the others. And then from that moment on, all the rest of us, whoever became believers in Jesus Christ, received the Holy Spirit. And we continue to say to God, why not go here? Why not go there? Why not touch that person? Why not help that person? Why not ride alongside of everyone and anyone that God sends us to and help them understand the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ? So I don't know what your gift is. It might not be as good as the gift of Gab. However, you all have the gift of the Holy Spirit if you became a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, today's the day you can become one. Today. I don't know if I've convinced you enough, like Philip did, about how awesome Jesus Christ is and about magnificent and how much God loves you no matter who you are. But if you want to change in your life and within yourself, accept Jesus Christ today as your Lord, as your Savior, as your Messiah, as your miracle worker. And in so doing, everything will change in your life for the better. And then you know what's going to happen next? The Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is going to change you as far as what you find important. And who you think you are in Christ. And no matter what the Holy Spirit asks of you, you're going to be willing and always say to God, why not? Why not walk up to that altar and give my life to Christ? Why not stand outside and greet somebody and show them a beautiful smile? Why not hand somebody some food who is hungry? Why not sit with someone who's dying at hospice? Why not sit with someone and forgive them and show them about God's mercy and grace? Why not? Why not me? Why not you? Is there any reason why not? All right, church. The Holy Spirit gives you permission this morning to be who you are and use the gifts God gave you. And your answer is?